Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Football Postcast. Bruce Millington, Dan Childs, Chris Rivers and Paddy Powers, Carl Monaghan are the team this week to bring you 10 more Premier League match previews plus best bets from all the other leagues in England, Scotland and in Europe. We'll start off though with the return of the Champions League. Great to have it back. I think the knockout stage of the Champions League is possibly the best football competition there is outside the World Cup. And we're obviously fantastic lineup and some fascinating action on Tuesday and Wednesday. We had Juventus getting beat at Porto, but the real moment was obviously Barcelona capitulating. Mbappe, absolutely fantastic. Where does that leave us in terms of the outright Champions League betting, Carl?
Well, Manchester City are the favourites, Bruce, and we have had money over the past week for City. They are 13-5, sitting at the top of the betting. The holders, Bayern Munich, are then 100-30. And then, of course, PSG, you spoke about that Barca capitulation there. They're 5-1, Liverpool 13-2. And then, obviously, much bigger prices for the likes of Dortmund, Madrid, Real, Juve and Chelsea.
OK, before we move on to the Premier League previews, I just want to see what everyone thinks in terms of Champions League. Chris, where do you stand on it now? I've got to say this, right? I know that City have somehow, and I don't know how, I don't know why it's happened, but it has happened. They've clicked back into gear and they're a winning machine despite being depleted. But somehow that 13-5 isn't doing it for me. Do you think I'm completely wrong and they will just steamroller it this year?
No, I think you're right, Bruce, because of the history of Manchester City in this competition. They just can't seem to get over the hump, can they, when it comes to sort of the latter stages, knocked out by Lyon last year in surprise circumstances. And there's a bit of trepidation, I think, when you're looking at Manchester City to win the Champions League, particularly when you look around and there's a strong case to be made for plenty of other sides, as already been mentioned, Bayern, PSG, the obvious two standout candidates. But you look at somebody like Atletico Madrid going really well in the league this season. They've got a difficult tie against Chelsea at this stage of the competition, but I quite like the look of Atletico Madrid as a side who know how to grind it out on the big stage in these Champions League matches to go deep in this competition. So you are, I think, right to be sort of a bit wary of taking on City.
Are you slightly concerned, Chris, that Atleti have got themselves in such a great position with domestically that they might actually put a few more eggs into that basket?
Yeah.
Or can they do both?
I think they can manage to do both. They're building such a lead at the top of La Liga that there's a chance they might be able to kind of ease off in that competition in some regards and focus on the Champions League. And as I say, they've got the history. They know what it takes to sort of grind out of these two-legged affairs and get through to the latter stages.
Interesting stuff, Chris. Where do you stand on the outright likely champions this year, Dan Childs?
I would be edging to, I think, the top three in the market. It'll come from them, Bayern, Man City and PSG. The only reason I would be less sure about Atletico is that I'm starting to think that La Liga, you know, the teams in general, I think, with Barcelona and Real Madrid, I think are fading forces now. There's, you know, the investment has kind of, you know, a tap has been turned off, I think, both clubs. It makes Atletico's job a bit easier. So maybe they're looking a little bit of a better side than they actually are because of the weakness of Real Madrid and Barcelona. I think that if I was to pick a winner out of the top three in the market, I'd go for Bayern Munich. Just think they're, you know, such a fantastic team going forward. I don't see really how they've got any weaker than last season. Man City, I think, also got a fantastic chance. I just worry a bit about the scheduling for Man City. They've got, if you look domestically, they're going to have to play 16 to 18 more domestic games, you know, depending on if they get any further in the FA Cup. Bayern Munich have only got 13 more domestic games to play. They're already been knocked out of the German Cup. But that's a, you know, bearing in mind City could play five more games, you know, than Bayern Munich. And that's a big advantage for Bayern.
Okay, and Carl, where would your money be going now?
My money would be going on PSG, Bruce. Of course, got to the final last year, didn't they? They lost 1-0 to Bayern Munich. I think Bayern Munich aren't as good. They're still a good side, but not as good as last year. City, of course, uncharted waters, deep into the Champions League. 13-5, I agree with you. It wouldn't be for me. But last night, or the night before, just how PSG, how good Mbappe was, you know, they did all that at the Nou Camp. The 4-1 win was without Neymar. Neymar is a pretty good player to come back into that team. And I just think with the Spurs they earned in the tournament last season, that'll stand to them. I think at 5-1, they're a decent shout.
Yeah, excellent. Interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that pans out. Thank you very much indeed for your thoughts on the Champions League, gents. Now let's turn our attention to another match week in the Premier League. And we'll start. We've got a Friday night game this week, which is good. It kicks off at 8 o'clock. It is being transmitted into our homes by BT, and it's Wolves versus Leeds. I should imagine there's quite a few close games this weekend, Carl, and I should imagine this is one of them as far as the betting's concerned.
Absolutely, Bruce. One of a few head scratchers that we had to do our homework on for the weekend. But Wolves are 6-4, Leeds 9-5, and the draw is 9-4.
Dan Charles, we'll start with you. This is the counter-attackers against the boxer who comes out throwing punches the moment the bell rings. How's it going to go?
The counter-attackers are going to win it, I think. I just think Wolves actually look a lot more comfortable since they brought Willian Jose in up front, just to give them a bit of a physical presence. They've actually taken 7 points now from their last three games. There's clear evidence that signing is making a bit of a difference for them up front. I mean, he's no Raul Jimenez, but he does fill the gap a little bit better than has been the case. I think Leeds, you know, fantastic season there. They're having score a lot of goals, concede a lot of goals. I thought Calvin Phillips was a massive miss for them at Arsenal last week. You know, whenever he doesn't play, you know, it's a big concern. Not sure what his fitness status is. He was meant to be a doubt for the game at the Emirates. So I think I'll be even stronger on Wolves if Calvin Phillips didn't make it, but I would still edge to Wolves, a Wolves win.
Okay. Chris, the only thing I would say about Leeds is that they're so kind of vulnerable in terms of central defence that isn't the way to beat them to just tear into them and do unto them what they do to you? I just wonder whether Wolves are going to be bold enough to actually exploit Leeds' main weakness.
Yeah, I think that's a good question, Bruce, because they're not going to come out and all guns blazing, are they? That's not Wolves' style. And there is maybe an opportunity for Leeds to build a bit of a platform in this game. I mean, Wolves managed to shut them out in the reverse fixture at Elland Road, which finished 1-0 the way of Wolves. I find it very difficult to separate these two sides, I have to say, because Wolves are just very inconsistent. I mean, the last seven matches, they've all had different outcomes. They've had no back-to-back wins or draws or anything to kind of base recent form on for them. And Leeds, you don't know which Leeds is going to turn up. But as Dan's already mentioned, if Calvin Phillips doesn't play in this game, that is a big concern. And I'm looking at sort of more towards the goals market, over 2.5 goals. That's landed in 10 out of 12 12 Leeds away games this season. And I think Wolves will get chances, even if they are a bit conservative and a bit tentative going into this one.
Overs for Chris and very much Wolves for Dan. Carl, where's your money going?
I'm going to tip up Leeds, Bruce, at 9-5. Now, I'm hoping that Bielsa will have learned from the Elland Road 1-0 defeat when the sides met in their corresponding fixture. Just having a look at in their recent losses to Everton and Arsenal, Leeds created so much chances in the match as well. Of course, Bamford is 12th of the season. Jack Harrison has 6, loads of firepower. And I just think one of these games, all these chances and shots on target are going to end up in the net. And I'm hoping it's Friday night as well. I think Wolves have turned around their form a little bit, but at 9-5, a bold bet. But it is on the back, Bruce, of just watching Leeds in their last four games. I've been really impressed with them in the final third, and I'm just hoping they get the rewards Friday night.
Okay, it's an interesting one. It's a tricky one. Four more games on Saturday coming right up.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's same game multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the same game multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post football postcast with Bruce Millington, Dan Childs, Chris Rivers, and from Paddy Power, Carl Monaghan. Let's do Saturday's four Premier League games now. And we start at 12:30 at St Mary's. It's Southampton versus Chelsea. It's on BT and Chelsea. I suppose they're odds on here, aren't they, Carl?
Yes, they are. They're 8-11, and Southampton are 15-4. Bruce, the draw is 13-5.
And we'll stick with you, Carl. Does that 8-11 do it for you?
It certainly does do it for me. Already, they're back in at the top four. I think the Chelsea players are certainly responding to Thomas Tuchel, their new boss, the kind of the gentle arm around your shoulder type style with Frank Lampard, may not have been the best way to get a response from these players. I think Tuchel's going well, isn't he, with 5 clean sheets in his first 6 games there, 8-11. And they're not They're improving ever so slightly every week, Bruce, every time I watch Chelsea. And he's obviously started at the back with that new formation and he's made them more solid. But just Southampton, I haven't been impressed with them of late. And I suppose I always like Danny Ings in the first goal scorer market against the big sides. I think he's a bit of a shop window type player. He looks at the fixture list and goes, oh, I wouldn't mind scoring in front of the cameras against these. So I would have a little cheeky Danny Ings bet. But 8 to 11 from Chelsea does it for me. I'd be sticking with the Blues here.
Chris, what's your view of this one? Southampton are in absolutely rotten form, aren't they?
Yeah, I can't help but feel a bit sorry for them, Bruce. I have to say they've been unlucky with injuries and VAR decisions going against them. And then last week conceded one of the goals of the season, didn't they? Pedro Neto turning it on in some style when Wolves came from behind to beat them. And this is a really tough assignment for them again. And yeah, I'm leaning towards Chelsea to win this game. As Carl's already mentioned, he's got a good reaction, hasn't he, Thomas Tuchel, from his team, not just at the back where they've not let a goal in yet, but up front they've been pretty efficient in front of goal, converted 32% of all the shots on target they've had under Tuchel. So they're looking very good right now all of a sudden, Chelsea. They like playing at St Mary's. I would be looking as alongside sort of Chelsea to win this game at Mason Mount as well, to have one or more shots. He's been pretty heavily involved under Tuchel. Gets forward quite a lot under them, and he's already had, you know, quite a few shots under Tuchel. Seems to be playing quite a prominent role, doesn't he? He's one that stuck out of the Frank Lampard youngsters that came through.
Do you ever have a total shots on target? I must admit, I've bet on pretty much everything it's possible to bet on in this life, but I've never had one of those shots on targets bets. I think it'd be quite weird because I don't know whether it's a blocked shot. You know, if he smashes it against the defender's legs, is that a shot? It's just never crossed my mind, but it's an interesting one, right?
Yeah, I've actually, because as you mentioned, I think these games are quite difficult to call this weekend. It's one of two that I've got sort of lined up. And I think it stems from being somebody who bets on a lot of NFL. You know, you can bet over how many yards a receiver will get or how many rushing yards on the ground they'll run for. And, you know, slowly translating into the Premier League and becoming a bit more popular. And it is something I look at, particularly with somebody like Mount, who's 10 to 11, which I don't think is a bad price for a player who likes to chance his arm.
Yeah, I mean, his former manager Lampard, you know, he would have been a banker for this, wouldn't he? He used to shoot every single time. Dan, how much of an upgrade is Tuchel from Lampard?
Yeah, I think he's, I think I said when he was, you know, just after he came in, he's a significant upgrade. He's got, you know, a lot more experience for a start. You know, he's already, you know, managed a big club, you know, before he's come in there, whereas, you know, Lampard's gone in there from Derby. So, you know, I understand that he hasn't managed in the Premier League, but, you know, he's certainly made a decent enough start. For this game, I think Chelsea are pretty solid favourites. I would like to actually just get a bit more juice out of the price. And I was looking at the draw and Chelsea half-time, full-time at 7-2. I thought that could play into the fact that Southampton, every time I watch them, you know, this season, they seem to be a team that starts really fast and then they tire. And it's in a lot of their games, especially home games, they led at home to Spurs and lost 5-2, led 2-0 against Man United, lost 3-2, led at home to Arsenal, lost 3-1, led at home to Wolves last week and lost 2-1. So they keep starting games well and can't see it through. I think they may get to half-time level. Chelsea as well, they're a team that, under Tuchel, they're a lot more solid at the back, you know, plenty of clean sheets, but they're not actually scoring loads of goals at the moment. So that's another reason I would just like a little more juice in the price rather than just weighing in for them. So, draw and Chelsea, double result for me.
Thank you very much indeed. The 3 o'clock, I tell you what, if you want to know whether there's two ways of knowing whether you support a poor Premier League team, it's the one that's always on last on Match of the Day, and it's the one that gets the 3 o'clock slot on Saturday afternoon. Always the worst game of the weekend. And this one could be no exception. You never know. It might be a 4-4 thriller. But it's Burnley versus West Brom. It's on Sky and Paddy Power bet as follows.
Yeah, so Burnley evens. West Brom 14-5. The draw is 11-5, Bruce.
Okay, Chris, make some sense of this. Is there a bet here or is this the game that you win a few brownie points from your partner by saying, I'm not going to do this, I'll mend that shelf?
I'll be able to watch this in the office, so I'm not sure whether I'm lucky or unlucky with this one on Saturday afternoon. But I do quite like Burnley to win at evens. I think West Brom, had the right game plan for Man United last weekend, didn't they? Classic Allardyce, kind of aerial bombardment. But I think that will play into Burnley's hands if they go with that sort of strategy again, especially if Ben Mee's fit for this game. He missed the one in midweek, but should be available. And he's massive to Burnley at the back in terms of just keeping Nick Pope well protected. And I think West Brom have set their bar pretty low, haven't they? The way they celebrated that draw against Manchester United, you think you need to be winning games at this stage of the season, but they're celebrating a 1-1 draw. And they've won only 1 of 11 under Allardyce. They've got rotten away form. And Burnley have been all right of late. They've only failed to score in 2 of their last 7 in the league against City and Chelsea. So, you know, they're slowly getting better going forward. And I think there's enough to like about Burnley at evens to get behind them.
Righty-ho. Dan, Burnley, I used to say, how on earth have Burnley got so many league points? Whenever I watch them, they look terrible and they've got all these points. But now, I should imagine everyone says that about Palace, particularly after last week when Burnley absolutely demolished us. Will they follow that up with a win here?
I'm not sure they will, actually. I'm going to go for a shock away win here. I just think that with West Brom, a little few of those Allardyce sort of traits of being organised and physically strong are starting to come, actually. I thought in the 2-0 loss at Spurs, there were some good signs there until they, you know, finally conceded in the second half. The 1-1 draw against Man United, I think they, you know, played pretty well, actually, and carried a threat. I like the look of in both games of the new signing by Diagne. I think that's right, his name up front. And got a great, you know, headed goal against United. Looked physically strong, powerful, makes a lot of good runs. And they've had a free week as well, which helps them. You know, Burnley are a sort of team, they put everything into every game. There's no shortage of effort. But when you're playing Wednesday and then you have to play again on Saturday afternoon, I think that's a little bit of a test for them. Quite a small squad, and I think it's a tight turnaround to go against them. West Brom for me.
And for Carl, who do you like?
Yeah, I like the look at Burnley there at evens. And I put in under 2.5 goals as well. There's been under 2.5 goals in 9 of Burnley's last 11 league games. That pushes the price out, a bit more juice of the price to just over around 5-2. And I just watching them last night against Fulham, they were definitely the better side in the first half, Burnley. There's lots to like about them as well because they're scoring more goals than they were. It's been a good year for them, 2021. They got 3 against Fulham, 3 against Villa, 3 against Palace. So it's lots to like about it. Now, listen, the tired legs might come into it. This is going to be a real heavyweight bout, Bruce, and there'll be powerful shots from both. But just watching Burnley last night in the air, as long as they keep the ball up in the air, I fancy them to win this game. They won so many headers against Fulham last night. They just their aerial ability and is a testament to Sean Dyche. And I just fancy a lot of the ball to be up in the air in this one. And I fancy Burnley to get the better of it.
Thank you, Carl. We move on to 5:30. It's the Merseyside derby, Liverpool versus Everton. I've got to say this about this fixture. There's two things about it. One is fact and one is opinion. The fact is this is the... If you ever like betting on cards and lots of reds and yellows, this is the highest cards average of any Premier League fixture, not surprisingly. My opinion is it's also one of the most disappointing, consistently boring, scrappy, niggly, too fast sort of games. So we'll see what the lads think in terms of a bet after Carl's given us the latest prices.
Bruce, Liverpool are 4-9 here. The Toffees, Everton are 11-2 and the draw is 7-2.
There's not much between them in the league, Dan, is there? Will there be much between them on the pitch?
I don't think there will be much between them on the pitch, no. And I think the draw is looks a big price to me. As you've mentioned, Bruce, a lot games between these sides are often a bit of a letdown in terms of entertainment. And that often, you know, manifests itself in quite a low goals count and actually a lot of draws. 5 draws in the last 7 league games between these two. And you could argue that, you know, no crowd probably makes it an easier visit to Anfield than Everton are used to as well. They have been better away from home this year than at home, Everton. I think they're a team that's probably not so great when they're asked to open up a side that defends deep. You know, we saw that against Fulham recently. But away from home, you know, they're unbeaten in their last 7 on the road. They do offer a threat on the counter-attack with Richarlison's pace. You've got to be compressing it up a little bit as well. He's got Andre Gomez and James Rodriguez who were on the bench the game against Manchester City, so that could work in favour. In Liverpool, I know they've had this big win in the week against Leipzig. You know, they broke a couple of times and scored a couple of goals, but they've not been convincing at all in the Premier League. 2 wins in the last 10 Premier League games. I cannot have them you know, in a derby match against a decent, you know, enough Everton side at 4-9, it looks too short to me.
That's amazing. Two wins in the last 10. Who would have thought it? Carl, where's your money going?
Liverpool and both teams to score is where I'm going, Bruce, because I do think the 4-9 is a bit short. That's around 15-8, Liverpool and both teams to score. Now, just a couple of reasons. I think Calvert-Lewin might come back in for Everton. I also thought Everton were like zombies in their defeat against Fulham last weekend. And obviously, they were a bit better last night, but just outclassed at the end. But they were decent enough defensively last night. Just with Liverpool, they give away goals. That goal against Leicester, with the miscommunication between the new centre-back and Alisson, the goalkeeper. And Alisson has looked ropey. He didn't need another error at all. So, the package the other night at Leipzig, if you were to look at the highlights, there was he looked dodgy when they gave him the ball as well. So definitely Everton would be looking to exploit that. And you will see strikers rushing in on Alisson very, very quick if they play it back to his feet. But just Thiago was getting roared at, Bruce, by Klopp and Henderson. This was an interesting thing. This is part of football that's interesting now when there's no crowd. You don't actually hear who they're communicating with. And Thiago was getting roared at. But he ended the match with 93% pass accuracy as well. So he's a good pass for the ball. But they're definitely weaker defensively, Liverpool, in the middle of the park with Henderson at centre-back. But Liverpool, just, Leipzig, they beat them 2-0. Leipzig got the best defence in Germany, Bruce. It was a tough game, and there were bits to like about Liverpool in their defeat to Leicester as well. So Liverpool and both teams to score, I think, a 15-8 is where I think there's a bit of value.
And Chris?
Yeah, I'm on the same lines as Carl. I quite like Liverpool and both teams to score as well. As Carl said, they do look very susceptible at the back, don't they? They conceded 7 in total in the last 2 Premier League games, which is very unlike Liverpool. But I thought that win at RB Leipzig was a good confidence booster. First clean sheet as well in 8 games. So maybe we'll give them a bit of confidence at the back. But as mentioned, with Dominic Calvert-Lewin coming back in, I can see Everton causing them problems. Not enough to get the first win at Anfield since 1999. So it's been quite some time, hasn't it, since they've picked up a result there. But they got the fourth best away record, and I can see them getting at least a goal. But I just think Liverpool, particularly with Mo Salah in such good form right now, he's got 24 goals for the season. Only Robert Lewandowski has scored more in all of the Europe's top 5 leagues in all comps. He scored 5 in 5. I think Salah could be the difference with Liverpool and both teams to score the bet.
Okay, and the Saturday action concludes at 8 on Sky. Fulham versus Sheffield United at the Cottage. Carl, what's the latest betting here?
Yeah, so Fulham, Bruce, are 6-5. Sheffield United are 5-2, and the draw is 21-10.
And who are you going to go for, Carl?
I'm going to go nice and simple, nice and clean. I'm going to go with the 6-5 about Fulham, Bruce, because they've got, obviously, they're playing Sheffield United at the weekend. Then they have Palace, and then they have Liverpool and Manchester City games in the first 2 weeks of March. So Scotty Parker knows he needs to pick up points in his next 2 matches as well, because there could be a couple of defeats. And their fixture list is pretty dirty looking in April as well. So I'm sure Scotty Parker will be targeting these 2 games to get at least 4 points. And their possession stats were pretty good last night in the 1-1 draw with Burnley. I like the way they knock around the ball. They fell asleep after they went 1-0 up, though, and conceded. That wasn't a good sign. But they're playing well for decent spells in matches, Bruce. They just haven't been able to keep that up for the full 90 minutes. But against Sheffield United, I fancy them at 6-5 here.
Who are you going to go for, Chris?
I'm going to go Fulham 1-0, actually. I think this will be a tight game. That's 5-1 for the correct score, because I do think they've got enough about them to edge this game, but I think it'll be pretty tight and tense. Fulham got a terrible home record. You know, same home record, same amount of points collected at home as Sheffield United. They seem to be set up to play away from home, don't they, where they look much, much better. That win at Everton was really impressive, and they've put on some good performances away from home. But this is where they need to perform at home, as Carl's mentioned. Scott Parker has said this is the season-defining run as far as they're concerned with this game against Sheffield United and then Palace next week. So there's a lot of pressure on them. And Sheffield United, back to their old habits, their bad habits, poor defensively against West Ham last time out. And I just cannot see them doing enough in this game to take anything from it. But I think it'll be tough for Fulham as well. So Fulham 1-0 at 5-1 holds a bit of appeal.
Okay, Dan, are you going to make it a full house for Fulham here?
No, I'm going to go both teams to score. The only reason I would be a bit, you know, reluctant with Fulham is, you know, they've played on the Wednesday, tough game at at Burnley, and their home record, as has been mentioned as well, you know, one win at home all season, that was against West Brom. I mean, that is doesn't really fill you with a great deal of confidence, you know, when you're trusting them at fairly, you know, shortish odds. I do think they're going to be very attack-minded, Fulham. They, you know, want to try and bridge that six-point gap to Newcastle. So I think they'll be all guns blazing and very attack-minded. But I think Sheffield United will have a go as well. They're kind of playing with a little bit of as if there's nothing to lose really now, you know, in their case. They have scored, Sheffield United, in 8 of their last 10 matches. Lost 3-0 at West Ham last time, but they are having a go in most of their games. I think they might nick a goal, Sheffield United, but I think Fulham will score as well. Both teams to score.
Thank you very much, Dan. We've got 5 more fascinating Premier League games coming up, and then we'll get the naps and also all the other tips that the lads fancy this weekend. Stick with us.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Right, I'm really looking forward to Sunday's 4 games in the Premier League. They're really, really interesting. We start with a cracker, a London derby at 12 o'clock. It's on Sky. It's West Ham versus Spurs. Carl, I'm fascinated to hear what the betting is on this one.
It's West Ham 8-5, Bruce. Spurs are 17-10, and the draw is 23-10.
So that makes Spurs just about favourites, doesn't it? Yes, I think I'm right. No, I'm not. I've got that completely wrong. It's eight to five as opposed to 8.5-5. All these new odds confuse me. But basically, it's extremely close. Do you see it as being extremely close, Chris?
I do, actually. I'm going to go for the draw in this one. Even though West Ham's form has been really good, you know, 19 points in 2021, only City have got more than that. I'm a bit tentative backing them in these big games under David Moyes. I think they play within themselves at times against sort of the bigger sides in the Premier League. And Spurs have got a decent record at the London Stadium, won on their last 3 visits. And let's not forget, they raced into a 3-0 lead, didn't they, in the reverse fixture before spectacularly blowing that. Spurs not in great form at the minute. That's, you know, that's the other thing leaning me towards the draw. But I do think Mourinho will set them up to be difficult to beat. They come into the game off the back of a Europa League match, but that hasn't affected them too badly over the course of the season. And I think it's quite tough to separate these two sides, particularly if West Ham don't have Mikel Antonio. You know, his old injury problems have come back to haunt him. And I think that leaves him a little bit short in attack. So I'm going for the draw, I think. Sit on the fence with this one.
Yeah, Dan, there's so much to like about what West Ham have done this season. But I think the point that that Chris touched upon there, they could push on and get top 4, but they're so short of forwards, aren't they?
They are, and that is actually what I think will decide this game. I think Spurs shouldn't be outsiders to win this game. I think they're a big price to win the game, Spurs. I still think they'll fancy, you know, pushing for a top 4 finish. Tottenham, they're 6 points off at the moment, but don't forget they have played Man City, Liverpool and Chelsea twice, so they, you know, there's a lot of winnable fixtures left on the calendar. I do think Spurs have played better recently since he's made that switch to playing Ndombele in a deeper role and getting Lamella in as an extra attacking midfielder. I think they've played much better football the last few games. The Everton 5-4, poor defending, but lots to like going forward. Man City are just outclassing everybody at the moment, so I'm not going to worry too much about that. West Ham, I mean, their games against Spurs in the past, the crowd is a big push for them. But, you know, having no crowd there, I think, is a big positive for Spurs. West Ham's home record, 6 wins, 3 draws, 3 defeats, exactly the same as their away record. Spurs have got better forwards with Kane and Son. Overpriced for me.
OK, and Carl.
Yeah, I thought a score draw looked good in this one, Bruce, at 16-5. Apart from the first day of the season, West Ham have not failed to score at home in all competitions all year. I was pretty impressed with that stat. I thought Spurs obviously hardly landed a glove, didn't they, on Manchester City last weekend. So they'll be hoping to improve that. And as dreadful as Spurs have been, Kane has 2 in his last 3. So these two sides played at a 3-3 draw, a cracking 3-3 draw back in October as well. So score draw, 16-5. Ticks a few boxes for me.
Okay, at 2 o'clock, it's Villa versus Leicester. Villa, the team of the season for me, the manager of the season, and in Jack Grealish, the player of the season. But Leicester aren't far behind. This should be an absolute cracker. They've both been brilliant to watch this season, and I'm really looking forward to see what happens when they lock horns. Carl, what's the betting?
Aston Villa 9-5, Bruce. Leicester 13-10, and the draw is 5-2.
Another head scratcher, Dan Childs.
I would just edge towards Villa. Got a lot of respect for, you know, for Leicester and what they're doing this season, but you know, they are, you know, putting quite a lot of emphasis now on you know, having a run in the Europa League, and they travel to Slavia Prague on a Thursday, so that's, you know, a bit of an issue for them with, you know, a trip to Villa on the Sunday. And there isn't a big gap between these teams. It's 10 points in the table, but Villa have played two games less, you know, so it's not a huge gap. Villa did win 1-0 at the King Power earlier in the season. They've had a 3 week, 3 clean sheets in their last 4. And you've got that quality of Grealish and Ollie Watkins that can always nick you a game. So a Villa for me.
Have they surprised you, Dan?
Yes. I mean, what has surprised me, I've watched a lot of Watkins in the Championship, but you're never certain how, you know, how much of a difference he's going to make. And defensively, they've been so much better. I mean, the goalkeeper, Martinez, has made a difference. But that partnership at the back there with Konsa and Mings has, you know, has just been better than I would have imagined. But you've got to say that there's nothing fortunate about how they're doing it. They probably, you know, fully deserve to be in that top half.
Absolutely. They're terrific, aren't they? Are you going to go for Villa here, Carl?
I'm not, Bruce, and like yourself, I am a Jack Grealish fan, and I like watching Villa. I think they're unbelievably improved on last season to the point that I don't think I could remember any team in history improving so much in a year. But I'm just going to shade it with Leicester. I think their away form has been good. They're unbeaten in their last 6 Premier League games.
They might have improved a little bit more a few years ago. I might just chip in there, but I take your point.
Definitely, Bruce. Leicester, the win, and then over 2.5 goals. Just lots of firepower on the pitch. Harvey Barnes, Jack Grealish, Watkins, Vardy. I'm hoping that my instinct of goals comes to fruition here, Bruce, and we get a good match to watch. Over 2.5 goals and the Leicester win, just over around 9-4. Nice little double, and I'll put the feet up and watch this one.
Yeah, that sounds a good strategy. What's your angle here, Chris?
Yeah, I'm looking at overs on cards and corners. I think this is going to be, you know, an end-to-end game, and these two rank in the top 10 for corners this season. So they're averaging over 10 a game in matches. So I think taking the over on the corners and then the cards. It looks like it might be a bit of a feisty one this match on paper. You know, these two sides have got a few players who've got a bit of a temper. Jack Grealish, the most fouled player in the Premier League as well, always seems to be in the middle of the action. And there were 7 yellow cards in the reverse fixture. So I think these two might have a bit of history. I'll be taking the over on that. In terms of a result, I think it's quite hard to separate these two. Villa's home record is a bit spotty. They've got some shock losses to Brighton and Southampton on there. And Leicester's away record is solid, but they come into this one off the back of a Europa League game. So I think that over the overs on the cards and the corners is one I'll be looking at on Sunday.
An interesting angle. Thank you very much, Chris. 4:30, Arsenal Man City, live on Sky. Carl, what's the latest betting and who do you fancy?
Arsenal 5-1, Bruce. Man City 1-2, and the draw is 130. I've picked out City to win to nil here at 6-4. 8 clean sheets in their last 11 Premier League games. It's not just City flying it on all fronts going forward. They've been really good at the back. It's been key to their run of 17 games on the bounce, Bruce. And Kevin De Bruyne, I thought he was going to be out injured for another couple of weeks. No, he came onto the pitch, and I'm sure he could even start here against Arsenal. So City to win to nil is around 6-4. Bruce, listen, we're running out of superlatives for City. They've been impressing us every week now for a while.
Absolutely. Do you agree with that one, Chris?
Yeah, it's impossible to look anywhere but City, isn't it, at the minute? I've gone City half-time, full-time in this one. They are absolutely phenomenal. I think Carlo Ancelotti summed it up pretty well after Wednesday night's game. He just said it's impossible to compete against City right now, and you can understand why, particularly when they bring De Bruyne off the bench in that game, and Pep Guardiola has said that Gundogan should be fit for this match. So they've got their two best midfielders back, and there's even the chance that we might see a rare sign of Sergio Aguero as well. And Arsenal, I'm just not convinced by them. I know they got that good win against Leeds, but their results at home have been a bit patchy as well. They've drawn a couple of blanks at home against the likes of Manchester United and Palace, and they couldn't break down Newcastle inside 90 minutes in the cup. Are they going to break down this Manchester City side who have been so rock solid at the back? I just can't see it. And City have been ahead in 5 of their last 6 games at the break. I think City half-time and full-time is the way to go at 5-4.
And Dan, how are you going to approach this?
I'm going to go for a shock Arsenal win in this one.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking at Arsenal since they lost at home to City in that League Cup tie and they got played off the park. If you actually look at their results since then, they've been pretty good, Arsenal. There won't be many teams other than City that have, you know, won as many games since then. So they've been playing well with a lot of energy for quite a while now. Got the Aubameyang, you know, situation sorted out. He's back in the team and you know, he's playing well, scoring goals last week. I think there's good energy in the side. I think they'll press City and they may just, you know, get their rewards. I mean, you think back to not that long ago when they beat them in, you know, a big shock in that FA semi-final last summer where they got that result. And maybe City, you know, maybe De Bruyne won't be, you know, he only played 10 minutes, didn't he, against Everton. May not be ready to start. Gundogan, who's been a really good player for them, you know, he's got a bit of an injury doubt at the moment, isn't he? Missed out against Everton. And they have got the Borussia Mönchengladbach, you know, big game, you know, to think about next week. So I just think everything, the price and Arsenal 5-1 is big enough for me.
Do you know, I'm glad someone went for Arsenal because I think they're looking really good. I love that combination of Saka and Smith Rowe. I think they're terrific. So I might follow you in there, I think, Dan. 7 o'clock, Man U versus Newcastle. It's on BT. And Carl, how do your employers bet on this?
Man United are 2-9, Bruce. Newcastle are 10-1, and the draw is 9-2.
And if you've just jumped on and thought, I don't know who Carl works for, it is, of course, Paddy Power. Dan, you can go first on this one.
I think United are a bit too short, but I'm going to, you know, they'll probably win a tight game, I'm thinking. So I'm going to go with Newcastle +2 on the handicap at, I think it's 10-11 is the price I'm looking at. Two bigger disparities, I've said, in the prices between the teams. It's probably a harder game for United than they had at West Brom, where they didn't win. You know, they held to a 1-1 draw there. Comes in the middle of the Europa League games against Sociedad, so you're not sure, you know, whether Solskjaer is going to be able to put his absolute strong side out. Everybody looks at United and thinks about the Southampton 9-0 game. That is the only time in the last 15 games that they've won a match by more than one goal. So that obviously feeds in.
Good.
That feeds into Newcastle +2. Newcastle, I don't think they've been that, you know, terrible this season. They've got a reasonable 6-point gap to the drop zone. Gets a lot of sticks, Steve Bruce. Don't think he's doing the worst job in the world. I think they'll be competitive here.
Okay, thank you very much, Dan. That is an interesting stat, isn't it? Only one win by more than one goal in the last 15, and that was by 9 goals. Very strange. Carl, what's your opinion of this one?
Yeah, well, Man United have been poor of late, Bruce. I want to put that on the record as well. 2 wins in their last 7 and conceded 9 goals this season from set pieces. Of course, the goal that West Brom got when the striker was manhandling and wrestling Lindelof, I think that was a good indicator of where they are in terms of title contenders, and that is just below the best. I've been disappointed with them of late. However, I think they'll bounce back into a little bit of form here and beat Newcastle. Newcastle are going well of late. 2 wins in their last 4, but they're playing a lot better. And I do agree that Steve Bruce is doing a decent job. However, Callum Wilson's hamstring injury, just a massive blow. 10 goals and 5 assists out of that side. So United to win to nil is where I've gone at 11-10, Bruce.
And Chris?
Yeah, I've gone the same way as Carl. United to win to nil. Also quite fancy 1-0 at 7-1. I might have a bit of that as well for United. As has been mentioned, you know, I don't really know which United's going to turn up. The one that smacked around Southampton and Leeds is not turned up as often as you would think, given the attacking talent in the side. But they should have too much for a Newcastle team who find it difficult without Callum Wilson. They failed to score in 7 of their last 8 games away from home, Newcastle. You know, life on the road has been pretty tough and they were largely uncompetitive, I think it's fair to say, against Chelsea. United have had no issues winning after European matches this season, won 3 out of 6 after the Champions League group stage games this year. But I don't think it'll be a particularly enthralling match. So United to win 2-0 or 1-0 is the way I'll be leaning with this one.
And the Premier League programme concludes on Monday night at 8 o'clock. It's Brighton versus Crystal Palace. It's live on Sky. I have just seen details of the Palace press conference and Wilfried Zaha definitely doesn't play. And indeed, Hodgson says the injury situation might even be worse than it's been lately. So any last bits of wind that were left in my sails have been well and truly taken out. Is this going to be a home win according to the betting, Carl?
Yeah, Brighton are 8-11. Bruce, Palace are 4-1, and the draw is 12-5.
Right, go on, lads. Don't hold back. Really bring my mood down. Chris, you can go first.
I don't want to pile into Palace too much, Bruce, but it's not looking great, is it, on paper, without Zaha in particular. I mean, they've not scored since he got injured. And the Palace defence is now the second worst in the league, having conceded 42. However, I don't think I can really back Brighton at odds on. It's only one home win in the league all season for them. They had tons and tons of chances against Aston Villa, couldn't score. So I don't think they'll run away with this one. I've actually looked at another player to have one or more shots in this occasion. It's Alexis McAllister, who's actually done quite well for Brighton. I've liked what I've seen of him. He started the last three games, and he's not afraid to have a shot as well. He had 7 shots against Spurs and 6 against Villa. So to have one or more shots at 10 to 11, I thought was a decent price for somebody who's going to get a few chances, Bruce, but I don't know whether he'll find the back of the net.
That sounds like an interesting bet, given his recent stats. Yeah. Dan, what do you think will happen here?
I just think that Brighton are too short, to be honest. I know Palace have got, you know, as you would know more than anyone else, Bruce, you know, some issues at the moment, but they've won one of their last 17 Premier League home games, Brighton. So, you know, to be piling into them at odds on, for me, I can't do that. And I would actually do the opposite, and I would lay them. I'll go Palace or draw. Double chance. We know about the stat without Zaha. It's awful that they've struggled to get results. I wonder if it's as much of a mental thing as it is missing his physical ability on the pitch. But I really like Eze. I think he's a class player on his day and another potential match winner. So as long as he's not one of these extra problems that Palace have got, then I think he, you know, potentially he could turn the game in their favour. I think Jordan Ayew offers a bit of a counter-attacking threat as well still. So, and they are 3 points above Brighton in the league. You know, as we've said, Brighton's home record is terrible. There's no home advantage, really. They're feeding into this market. We know the markets love Brighton and they hate Palace. Maybe it's one where you can swim against the tide.
Excellent. You've lifted my mood a little. Carl, what do you think will happen here?
I'm afraid to say, Bruce, I've just got to side with Brighton. They are a little bit too short, but I throw in under 2.5 goals, around 6-10. It pushes the double out to around 9-4. So I would be going with Brighton. I just think there's a bit of momentum there. And like Chris said in their last match against Aston Villa, they did have a lot of chances as well. I actually thought that was a pretty impressive display against Aston Villa, just because I think Villa are really good. On their travels there this season. I didn't expect the complexion of the game to go like that at all. So I was impressed with the mastermind. I think there's a bit of momentum behind them, and the Brighton win and under 2.5 goals is how I'll play it.
Thank you very much indeed. Carl, right before we get the naps, let's just see if the boys fancy anything else anywhere in England, Scotland, or indeed Europe. We'll start with Chris Rivers.
I've been looking at the Milan derby on Sunday afternoon. I quite fancy Inter to edge this one. I've liked what I've seen of Inter recently. They went top last weekend, beat a very good Lazio side who were in really good form coming into this game. Won the recent Coppa Italia meeting with AC Milan as well. And I just wonder whether Milan have peaked. They were top of the table for quite some time, but 3 defeats in 5 for them now. They were beaten shockingly by Spezia, who have been pretty awful in Serie A this season. And Inter have also got a bit more time to prepare for this game with AC in Europa League action. So I like Inter to win the Milan derby.
Thank you very much. Chris, Dan, what have you got for us? And I must say, before Dan gives us his tips, I mean, Dan is always in form. He's a terrific judge. But, I mean, you've been absolutely flying recently. It's been ridiculous.
I've had a decent run on the EFL recently. I fancy Walsall, Stevenage drawn over at home to Walsall in League 2 at even money. Stevenage are the 21st in League 2, but they are improving. They're only 4 points behind Walsall in the table. They won two of their last three games. They were 1-0 wins at Tranmere and Crawley, which are very, very good results. I think they can expose Walsall. They've had a few problems this week. Daryl Clark's left the club and gone to Port Vale, or actually below them in the table. I don't know what's going on with Walsall, but they also sold Zach Jules and Elijah Adebayo, who are two key players on the deadline day as well. They lost at home to Cheltenham in the week. I think they'll lose at Stevenage.
Wow, excellent stuff. And do please make sure you check out Dan Childs' tips in the Racing Post on Saturday or on racingpost.com, because like I say, the man is hot. Carl, who do you like?
Well, I like Brentford away to Coventry. I do like the Big Mick revival happening at Cardiff, Bruce, at the moment. Unbeaten in six, and he's four wins on the trot there. So 19-20, his Cardiff side against Preston this weekend is a bet I'll be having. And then Haaland, how good was he during the week for Borussia Dortmund? There in action away to Schalke in that Riviera derby. Schalke, one win all season, bottom of the table. Dortmund, half-time, full-time, around 4-5, but Royal Rovers up front for them. I'll have a bit of that.
Thank you very much. Naps time.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Cole Monaghan.
Yeah, my nap this week is I'm just going to take Chelsea at 8-11, Bruce, as my nap this week as well. I don't know what's happened at Southampton.
Don't worry, we've done the game. We just want the naps. Chelsea for you. I'm going to go with Fulham. Who are you going to go with, Chris?
I've gone with Swansea to win at Huddersfield this weekend. Quite like what Swansea are doing in the Championship. Won six of the last eight away from home. Huddersfield lost four of the last five home, and they lost their best player to injury last week, Isaac Mbenza. They're talking about pushing him through the pain barrier to play in this game, but I think that would be a mistake, and I think Swansea will have too much for them. They're flying right now. They're 21-20 to win that game.
Really? Yeah, I've got a friend who's a Huddersfield fan, and he's in absolute despair. He thinks they'll be in the conference in 3 years. Charlesy, what's your nap?
I'm going to go for Forest Green, second in League Two, to win away to fifth place Newport. Forest Green's away record, the joint best in League Two. I'm aware of the pitch at Newport is like a potato field. I mean, it's absolutely shocking, but. Forest Green can play in different ways. They've got a big striker, Jamil Matt, who gives them a good physical presence in those sort of conditions. Got 10 goals for them.
He used to play for Newport, didn't he? We could have done that. He played for both clubs, couldn't we?
Well, so he'll be, you know, eager to do, you know, do the business against his old club. And Newport, they're in a terrible run at the moment. Even though they're fifth in the table, they've won one of their last 11 games. Lost a lot of their good loan players in January, who went back to their parent clubs. And on Tuesday, they drew 1-1 at home to Exeter, but they played the whole second half of that game against nine men and still didn't win the game. So they're having a tough time at the moment, Forest Green, to win it.
I think we'd struggle with any others for they played for both clubs there, wouldn't we? Forest Green and Newport. Dan, can you think of any others apart from Jamil Matt?
I was actually thinking off the top of my head, but not a minute.
That's a short one. That's not like Southampton, Liverpool, is it? Okay, then. So the four naps this week are Fulham, Chelsea, Swansea and Forest Green. And Carl, you'll give the guys a prod, will you, and get an enhanced postcast accolade on the Paddy Power website for us, will you?
Oh, you can count on it, Bruce. I'll get prodding.
You're a very good man. Thank you very much to Carl. Thank you to Chris and thank you to Dan. Most of all, though, thank you very much for listening. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Do, as we always say, bet safely. And do join us next week for another Racing Post Football Postcast.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.